Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is the creator of the sand that makes microchips to what? To preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's the creator. You say, oh, well, I've never heard that before. Well, welcome to church. Hang on to your seat.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 2, and the title of the mini-series is Not of This World. Now, this is certainly a catchy and popular phrase these days, but it's also an accurate description of the true believer in God the Son. And as we're learning, we are not of this world in a whole lot more ways than one, including where we find our wisdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says, Paul quotes Isaiah, that God will reveal himself to them. Are you honestly, seriously seeking God today? Do you really want him in your life? Or the danger is, you say, Pastor, then why am I here? I'll tell you why many people come to church. Now look, your first service, you guys are troopers. This only applies to second and third service. Don't tell them that. But people come to feel religious. In fact, I get notes from people that we're not religious enough here. We don't have enough stained glass. Actually, we don't have any stained glass. How come you don't wear a robe, Pastor, or a suit? If I had it my way, I would not even be wearing this right now. So listen, don't push it. But why? There's a beauty to some people in the liturgical things of religion. Wow, I didn't get anything out of the message, but it looked great to be there. You know what I'm talking about? That is an injection like a drug into a person's psyche or soul that it makes them feel better about religious things and God. Be careful. I'm not knocking those things, because if the gospel is preached clearly in that setting, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want that to happen. But if the gospel is not preached, if people are not getting saved, if there's no cross and resurrection and forgiveness of sins and justification by faith alone in Jesus, then you're being led astray. And this is very, very serious stuff. So eternity itself, listen, the thought of eternity in your mind. Heaven, the thought of it, the thought of hell even, the presence of God, the existence of God. And beyond that, here the Bible's telling us that that information, that knowledge is not available to human beings without God's intervention. God does that. Now look, we've all, and I've used this verse in funerals, but I got to tell you, you know this verse, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the mind or the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What's the context that we use that verse in? About heaven, right? Most often it's about heaven. But you know what? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's all about earth. Watch this. The wisdom of this world does not work regarding heavenly things, but the wisdom of God is Christ crucified and revealed to us. Which, if we believe, guess what happens? Though you and I walk, I got to do all this sign language, no. You and I walking in this world, the Spirit of God in us, heaven has come down now, and the eye that did not see by human means, the eye does now see in spiritual means. The heart that could never take it in about eternity, heaven, hell, God, goodness, forgiveness, now does, because God's touched us. The heart, the eye, the mind, the ear. You and I were once alienated from God. Now we see, now we hear, now we entertain in our minds. Heaven has been deposited inside of us now as Christians. That's why, you guys, come on. I have a very low tolerance for wimpy Christians. I have a very low tolerance for defeated believers. It was like this. What's the matter with you? I'm a Christian. Well, what's wrong? The world's really difficult. Oh, yeah? Time magazine. Did you see the cover recently? It says, there's a baby crying on the cover with the party hat on. And it says, the decade from hell. That's what they're chalking this last 10 years up. The decade from hell. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's coming. Right? It's coming. If they think this is the decade from hell, oh my goodness. No, but here's the Christian. A lot of Christians walking around, what's the matter? Is it the decade from hell? Time magazine said so. Get your face up off the ground and look into the Word of God and find out. Jesus said to the believer, the kingdom of God dwells within you. The power of the Holy Spirit is what picks us up. But we're not listening to what he's saying to us. I'm going to give you some verses that I hope encourage you regarding this. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That is the eye seeing. That is the heart receiving. That is the ear hearing right now today. That abundant life is not later. It's now. And for you and I, if we are not experiencing that as Christians, a powerful, activated Christian life. We don't mope around. Listen, the world should tremble when we walk up. The world should shudder. Here comes that guy. He's going to pray. Oh, we've heard about you. Right? Your neighborhood should know, you know what? My baby's sick. Get down to their house. They're Christians. Have them pray for our baby. Let them know. By the way, I think it's a wise thing to let your neighbors know you're Christians. You want to know why? Because it holds you accountable. Okay, before you run out in the front yard and bite your dog, you got to remember, I'm a Christian. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's what he does. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My goodness, church, this is what, I wish I should have brought it out here. You know what that means, that verse? Leave it up on the screen. It means this. As a Christian, we are walking around with a mirror. We have a mirror in front of us. Are you with me? We have a mirror in front of us, and when somebody walks up, because God dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, the image that shines forth is Jesus Christ. Not how he looks. How does he look? We don't know. But how does he act? Ah, that the world should be able to know. By how we act. The Bible says in 1 John, as he was in this world, so are we now. Wow. What a high and lofty calling we have. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Just skip a couple of verses down and look at this. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the man that can only see through human eyes, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So eyes not seen, ear heard, or heart has concluded. Look at Romans. I'm going to give you a lot of verses today. Romans 8:18. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And all God's people said, you guys, we will suffer. Did you bring somebody to church today? It's their first time here. Let me be the first one to announce to you. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to suffer. Pastor, why'd you tell them that for? Because it's true. In fact, come on. You don't have to be a Christian in this world to be the one suffering. You're going to suffer in this world, period. I would rather suffer in this world with Jesus holding my hand than having nothing holding my hand or no one. But here's the cool thing. The moment you become a Christian, Satan must come up with a spray paint can and put a big target on your back. Have you noticed that? I want to come to Jesus so my life will be simple, easy, and comfortable. Then, you know what? Then go home. It's not going to be that way. This is not the North Pole with Santa. Being a real Christian is a real deal. And in this world, we're going to suffer for knowing Jesus. Jesus says, cheer up. Before they hated you, they hated me. Say, Pastor, don't say anymore. Don't talk anymore. You're going to drive my friend away. Your friend is not stupid. Your friend knows, hey, you know what? anything in life that's worthy of anything is that thing that's under attack. Whatever's, many times we may not be able to be known by our friends, but we can certainly be known by our enemies. And that's a good thing. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." That's in the Hebrew present now. It means now. "At your right hand are pleasures evermore." That is true in heaven, and it's true right now, because when you and I pray, how's your marriage? Oh, it could be better. Then pray and ask God to bring the blessings of heaven down into your marriage. How's your kid? He's a lunatic. Pray eternity into your child's hearts. Go after him. Go after her. Look at verse 10. Paul gives an awesome insight to us right here. He says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God." That's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In Romans 8:14, it says here, this is a great verse. "For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God," does the Spirit of God control your life? "These are the sons of God," daughters, sons and daughters of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Don't raise your hand, because it would be everyone. Are you prone to worry about things or to be fearful? Do you have what the Greek word is, phobia? If you have a phobia, if I have a phobia, it's because I'm not trusting in the Lord. So Jack, you're making me worry. Now I'm worrying because I'm not trusting in the Lord enough. Listen, take it to him and say, "Lord, I worry about these things. I worry about finances. I tell you what, personally for me, and this is what God has called me to deal with in life, and I have a tendency to worry about it, and it's wrong, and that's this. God, I pray for revival for America. I pray for a revival among your people. And I'm supposed to pray to him, but then I wind up worrying about it, which is wrong. God, send revival." You may have another situation in your life. You pray to him, but watch this. "But you receive the Holy Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry," that is, now we cry, "Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit himself bears witness, this is powerful, with your spirit, that's the inside of you. Are you guys listening? The inside of you, the spirit of who you are, the part of you, listen, that will live forever in heaven or in hell. That's the spirit of who you are. You know how you have thoughts? Have you ever written a letter to somebody? You ever jotted down a poem? Have you ever had a thought? There's not some human physical mechanism in your body that, oh, that's where that came from. Did you know that you are a body, soul, and spirit? And you will live forever in heaven or in hell, says the Bible. The Bible says here in Romans that the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen. And all God's people said, because here's the thing. You should not, listen, you should not walk around wondering if you're a Christian or not. Every Christian who knows the Bible understands that you are, that I am. To the person who says, I'm not sure, then you need to stop and ask yourself, am I religious or do I have a relationship? Being religious doesn't get you anywhere into heaven whatsoever. Having a relationship with the eternal God does. Which one is it? The Holy Spirit will tell you, you're my kid, I love you, and you're in my family. So that's settled. Here's what we're going to do today, says the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:7. Paul explains a little bit about this in Ephesians 3:7. He says, "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." Verse 8, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages," this is amazing, you guys, God knew before time ever began that this gospel message would be given to you right now at this very hour, "from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." Did you know that? Jesus Christ is the creator. The gospel, the Jesus of the cross, is the Jesus of the tomb, is the Jesus of the resurrection, is the Jesus of creation. Do you know what Jesus you're worshiping? Paul is saying, man, if you know what Jesus you have, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, these are the unsearchable riches of Christ. That is an awesome thing to consider. You guys, I had an amazing eye-opening experience this week. I got to be a speaker with some incredible brains. I had no brains. I have no brains. It's just that they wanted a pastor's perspective on this thing. And you guys, there was a senior bazillionaire executive of Hewlett-Packard who loves Jesus. And that's why we were together at this thing. And then the number three man in the founding of Apple Computer, number three man, the guy's a billionaire. And you know what the whole thing, he spoke. In fact, he listens to our radio program. He came up and he said, I want to thank you for Real Radio. Listen to Newport Beach. Listen to this. The whole thing was about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, buying satellites, getting the word of God, covering the globe. And in the next 10 years, we hope to reach 3 billion people. That's the project. That's the goal. It's all laid out. It's amazing. 3 billion people. 2.6 billion have already been reached. 3 billion, and it's all this and all this and all this. And then they said, Pastor Jack, come up here and tell people why. But here's my point. This guy, one of the founders of Apple Computer, stands there and he says, the same Jesus who we preach, I'm getting goosebumps because I can hear him in my mind on Thursday night. He says, the same Jesus we preach is the same one who created all things. I'm going to read this to you in a moment. Who created all things, even, because he's a tech guy, even the sand of the globe, which sand we take and make chips with and transmit bits of information by. Jesus is the creator of the sand that makes microchips. To what? To preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He's the creator. You say, oh, well, I've never heard that before. Well, welcome to church. Hang on to your seat. Write it down. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who? Who created? God. Colossians 1:4. For in him we have redemption through his blood. Who might that be, by the way? Jesus. The forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the preeminent one or firstborn over all creation. That word means he presided over all creation. For by him all things were created. Who? The one who died at the cross. For by him microchips are created. Everything that are in heaven and that on earth. Visible and what? Invisible things. Atoms. Whether thrones or dominions, ooh, that's creepy. Those are spiritual beings. He made them. Principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are the atomic glue. That's what that word means. Wow. John 1, in the beginning was the word, and we know who that word is. It goes on to say in verse 3, all things were made or created by him. And it goes on to say in verse 10, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. That word means the world did not recognize him. You guys, this pulpit, everything, he's the one that holds it together. Imagine if Jesus was to relax right now, these atoms would fly apart. He's created it all. It's Jesus, the one we preach. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, watch, through whom also he made the worlds. You see the S on the end of worlds? It's hard to say in English, almost impossible. It's cosmoses. You know cosmos? It's cosmos, cosmos, cosmos is. You guys, are you with me? Are you awake? This is the Bible. This is the Bible. The verse I just read is 2,000 years old. What does that verse say? Oh, someday when you guys come along in your advancement, you will build a Hubble telescope. and you will launch it out into space, and you are going to look at what I've made. And when you look, you will find out that I have made cosmos, clusters and clusters of universes, ladies and gentlemen. And my Bible told me that 2,000 years ago. How can that happen? Because God is the author of the book. He's the same one who went to the cross. He's the same one who opened your eyes to the truth. And this is the one that Paul's preaching at the church of Corinth, because they were so messed up with human philosophy. Dangerous thing. Revelation 3:14, Jesus Christ is, look at, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the word is arche, the beginning. The word means principle or the originator or the architect. Are you an architect today? Isn't it amazing? If you're an architect, you have a little bit of the creativity of Jesus. Jesus is the architect. He is the creator, arche, the word in Greek, and it means this: the principal one, the originator, the architect, the creator, designer. Jesus is it. You ever think about Jesus wearing a robe and having a contractor's helmet on? You ever think about Jesus with a workman's belt on his hip? A carpenter's belt? You ever think about Jesus with blueprints for the universe? Isn't it amazing that right now Jesus is working, I would assume, by his very nature, blueprints off of a plan, according to John 14, building you and I a place in heaven? Hello. Amen. The carpenter is building you and I a place in heaven. He did the world in what, how many days? Yeah, and how long has he been working on what you and I are going to? Around 2,000 years. What's it going to look like? Don't know. But we will be happy about it. The walkthrough will be amazing. That mystery, that hidden wisdom, the testimony of God is in fact Jesus Christ. He's the summation of it all. You guys, I get so excited to tell you that if you want to know this book, you are embarking upon the right track. And here's the one you're going to know. This book could fall out of an airplane and land on an island of people having no knowledge of the Bible whatsoever. If they picked up this book, in fact, I thank God for how I came to Jesus, because I didn't know any denominational persuasions. My wife did. And that lends itself to an exciting marriage. Well, I was taught this way. Well, where's that in the Bible? I don't know, but the denomination said it was there somewhere. Well, here's the cool thing. You read the Bible, guess what you're going to come away with? Jesus. Okay, you are not going to get anyone else out of the book. You're going to hear the supporting actors, but it's all about Jesus. Behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, saith the Lord. That's even quoted again out of the Psalms. It's quoted again in the book of Hebrews concerning Jesus. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Not of This World. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's an insightful passage that differentiates godly wisdom from worldly wisdom. Not of this world. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.